Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
I've had many people tell me over the course of the years of coming to Kings, they said, when we came here, we felt like we came home. And I know what that means. I know what it's like. You want to know why it feels like you come home? Because you know where you've all come from? Heaven. You existed before you were in your mother's womb. So when you come into the presence of God, you come and you begin to experience the power of God. It's just something very familiar about that. Why is that? Because that's where you come from. A little bit of heaven here. I was recalling in preparation for this morning's message, a song we used to sing so many years ago. I waited for the Lord on high. I waited and he heard my cry. I waited. Anybody know that song? For the Lord on high. I waited and he heard my cry. And I used to sing that when I first came into the church and weep. I think I cried for a year straight when I first got saved because it really echoed what was in my heart. I waited. I didn't even know what that meant. I was looking for him and didn't even know what that meant. I was looking for love in all the wrong places. No satisfaction. The Rolling Stones had that right. It's about the only thing. It brought me out of my despair. Felt like I came home when I first came to Christ. I'm starting a new series this morning, Home for the Holidays. Home for the Holidays. So we'll read the text of Scripture here in just a moment. Let me give you some Thanksgiving wisdom as notes are being passed out, just about done. The following is not a good model to follow, but it makes for a good story. A man in Chicago calls his son in New York the day before Thanksgiving and says, quote, I hate to ruin your day, but I have to tell you that your mother and I are divorcing. 45 years of ministry of misery is enough. Dad, what are you talking about? The son screams. He said, well, we can't stand the sight of each other any longer, the father says. We're sick of each other. And I'm sick of talking about this, so call your sister in Dallas and tell her. Frantic, the son calls his sister, who explodes on the phone and says, like what? They're not getting divorced, she shouts. I'm gonna take care of this. She calls Chicago, talks to dad and screams at him. You're not getting divorced. Don't do a single thing until we get there. She called her brother back and both of them booked tickets. Showed up in Chicago. Hanging up the phone, the older man says to his wife, well, the kids are coming for Thanksgiving and we don't have to pay for the tickets. Pretty intense manipulation there, but I enjoyed the story. Don't mess with older people. Come on, somebody say amen. Here's another one. Thanksgiving on Thursday this week. Lady was picking through the frozen turkeys at the grocery store, but couldn't find one big enough for her family. So she asked the stock boy, do these turkeys get any bigger? And the stock boy answered, no, ma'am, they're dead. Thank you so much. Let me read this to you, a little bit of Thanksgiving history. I didn't know this. I didn't know about this Thanksgiving history, and I'm going to read a section of it. This is by the President of the United States of America in 1789. His name is George Washington. He wrote this, Thanksgiving Proclamation of 1789, and you can see it on the screen behind me. Whereas it's the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor, and whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many single favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them the opportunity to peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November, to be devoted to the people of the United States, to their service of that great and glorious being who is a beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be. That we then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the single and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of his providence, which we experience in the course and conclusion of the late war, that's the Revolutionary War, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for peaceable and rational manner in which we have enabled, which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particular national one now lately, instituted for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all the great and various favors which he hath been pleased to confer upon us, and also that we may unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler, capital ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being governed of wise, just, and constitutional laws discreetly and faithfully executed, to obey and protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially since we have been shown this kindness unto us, and to bless them with good government, peace, and accord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, to increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be best, given under my hand at the city of New York on the third day of October in the year of our Lord, 1789, President General George Washington. Now, I read the whole thing because it shows how far we have come as a nation. But I believe, with all my heart, I believe that God is gathering a people. I believe that God that is pulling people in a remnant, if you will, a people who will turn to true religion. You can go and read this. I read it verbatim. I believe that God is bringing an awakening in America. An aspect of that awakening is Thanksgiving. Aside from the national holiday, which is one of my favorites. If you don't have Thanksgiving, you're going to have no awakening. Stand up on your feet, take your Bibles, turn with me. Thank you, Minister Toby. We're going to read the word as we stand. We're going to go to Psalm 28, verse 7. It'll be on the screen in the New Living Translation. Then Hebrews 12, verse 28. Then Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7. If you're all there, say amen. Here we go. Psalm 28, verse 7. And then I will preach to you a message on Thanksgiving. Here we go. The Lord is my strength and shield. I trust him with all my heart. He helps me My heart is filled with joy. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving. Hebrews 12 and verse 28, since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. One more verse for our main text. Colossians 2 and verse 6. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Everybody say, continue to. Let your roots grow down into him. And let your lives be built upon him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth as you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Let's pray. Father, thank you. On the Sunday before Thanksgiving, we thank you for the incredible heritage of our country. And I pray, Lord, that you would release living understanding upon each and every man, woman, boy, and girl. All those that are online, all those that will listen at a later date, let your word be preached with power, signs, and wonders even following. Mark us and awaken us to the glorious reality and importance of being thankful. And may our hearts turn from today never to allow the idol of ingratitude to penetrate. May we ever be grateful. May we ever be a people that rejoice. For the manifold reasons that we discuss in this coming sermon, thank you, oh God, come on, say it. Thank you, God, for what you're going to do in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. We do have notes, as is our custom. What a powerful bunch of scriptures right here. Now, back to some history. George Washington started the proclamation. It kind of faded. Then Abraham Lincoln, the great emancipator, revived it 75 years later, National Day of Thanksgiving. And it is, I think our nation at that time was approximately 3 million. Now it's grown to, well, I don't know, is it 400 million? I need to look on that statistic, but our nation has grown quite large and continues to grow. And it's a beautiful tradition, Thanksgiving, this Thursday. How many of you got plans for Thursday? Yeah. And it can be painful, too, if you have a dysfunctional family or a lot of strife. I mean, I know there's a lot of arguments. I've seen some memes out there of people say, we're not going to discuss politics, but then they have certain things engraved into pies and political statements on pies and cakes and stuff. Psalm 28, give thanks and joy. Giving thanks and joy go hand in hand. Everybody say that. It goes hand in hand. In fact, I'll say this, that literally your emotions will follow your thoughts. So if your mind is bent on not giving thanks and you allow yourself to drift off into complaining, you're in trouble, and I will prove by the end of the service that if you allow yourself to be a grumbler, you allow yourself to complain, you allow yourself to lose a heart of gratitude, what'll end up happening is you'll end up demonized and you'll lose out with God, and you could actually end up completely falling away. You need to continue in him. Everybody say continue. So your thoughts of being grateful, being thankful are very important. And when you really tune those to truth, then joy will flow. Matthew chapter 5 says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for in the same way the prophets were persecuted before you. Many years ago, going door to door, I came upon a house to witness and tell them about the love of God, to talk about Jesus crucified, resurrected, to see how their souls were. And as I knocked on the door, a man answered, spitting venomous hatred and curses. And he came up with, what are you doing on my property? And I backed off. I said, dude, I just want to tell you about the... And he just cursed me up and down. He says, what do you want? I said, I want to tell you that Jesus loves you. He lost his mind. In fact, his mind was lost long before that. He started just spewing I said, I just want to tell you, Jesus loves your life. He literally worked up a spit and spit at me, and it landed exactly right here in my eye, in my left eye. Now, I had been born again following after the Lord for about 2 years. That can be potentially dangerous. I almost lost my sanctification. I wanted to minister to him the fivefold, and I'm not talking about that which is the fivefold ministry. I wanted to give him the other fivefold. So I cursed him like a Christian. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Hey, you know what? You know what? God bless you, bro. God bless you. Huh? God bless you right now, as a matter of fact. God took out my cursor, so all I could do is just... Some of you need to suck on some soap. If you have a cursing problem, you should just get a bar of soap, keep it in your pocket. I remember when my mama, my beautiful mother on the second row, bought, I'm going to tell this story, Mom. I'm going to tell it with detail. She got that Yardley soap on a rope. How many of you remember that? Like 1976. They came out with soap on a rope. Some of you should just, I bet you could get some on eBay and you put it around your neck and just suck on that every time you have a cursing problem. So I walked off from that experience. I had been memorizing Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And as I walked down the street, I started weeping for the incredible rejection I felt from that man. And it tapped into a place of rejection in my own heart. It tapped into a place where I just was so hurting and wounded and I needed healing. And as I'm walking, I'm like, oh God, I'm just a loser. I started agreeing. And God spoke to me and said, son, rejoice. They didn't reject you, they rejected me. Rejoice. I'm like, yeah, I don't feel like rejoicing. That scripture, boom, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. And I just wouldn't obey right away. And I rejoice and be exceedingly glad. So finally, I gave him a little bit of lip service, which I was deeply convicted by. I was like, praise God. And when I did that, I realized that's like mocking. And I thought, Jesus, help me. So instead, I said, from my heart, thank you that I've allowed to be persecuted. And I felt this, I felt this fire. I felt something. I thought, ooh. I was still overwhelmingly sad from the rejection, but I felt this spark. And so I did it. Maybe not with all my heart, but it was genuine 25% of my heart. The other 75% was dead, but I'm not mocking. And so I decided to give him a real thank you. I said, hey, God, thank you that I have suffered persecution for your name's sake. And bam, the power of the Spirit of God hit me. And I got filled with joy. Joy and thanksgiving go hand in hand. Some of you are like, joy, come on, you be thankful and joy will flow like a river. Joy will come, will well up on the inside of you. But if you're an ingrate, you're not going to have much joy. Come on, lift your hands and just thank him. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You say, you don't know what I've been through. No, you don't know what he's done. He said, I've been through some stuff. I'm like, I understand we've all been through some stuff. Maybe yours is the worst out of anybody on the planet. I don't mean, maybe it's horrible. But what God has done is bigger than whatever has happened to you. And he's able to heal you. And he's able to help you. He's able to set you free from rejection. He's able to set you free from depression. He's able to rewire you. He can change your DNA. He can change your thought patterns. Some of you need to change the way that you think. We're the ones that change. We have to renew our mind. God doesn't come and renew your mind. He gives you tools and you have to renew. You got to create some new neural paths. I mean, like Thanksgiving. I'm not doing Thanksgiving. I'm going out camping. Because of all the trauma you've been through. Hebrews 12. You got to get healed of your trauma. Hebrews 12, verse 28. Since then, we're receiving a kingdom that's unshakable. That means it's stable since we are receiving. Now, I taught on this just recently. The kingdom of God is present and future. It's we do not have the fullness of the kingdom here. However, the kingdom is here in portion. Can you say amen? And that Sunday night in Antioch, California, when a sound of heaven took place, power broke out. It was a little bit more of the kingdom there. When he shows up, there's power. And so we understand that there's a kingdom that we are receiving. In other words, we have received it, but the fullness of it is not yet. Let us be thankful. Hebrews 12, 28. Let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. I love what Griffith Thomas, a commentator, he said this. He said, this is our stability in an unstable world. We don't yet have this full kingdom, but it's yet to come. We're receiving it. He went on to note in his commentary that the ancient grammar of the phrase in the Greek indicates this, which could be said this way. We are constantly and perpetually receiving a kingdom that is incapable of being shaken. Let me read that again. We are constantly and perpetually receiving a kingdom that is incapable of being shaken. Wars, rumors of wars don't shake his throne. Nothing can shake his throne. Your problem, your challenge, that what you're going through doesn't shake it. No, you can move forward into the things of God and he will release his power. Come on, and that very reality should stir on the inside of you a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving. Come on, give him thanks one more time. That was like a golf clap or something. What was that? Come on, come on. Give him praise right now. Thank him right now. Yes, thank you. Wow. Our response to being a part of God's eternal kingdom is one of thankfulness. And our thankfulness is an act of worship to God and shows that we hold him in reverence and awe. Now, follow this. If you are not thankful, listen closely. If you're not thankful, you do not hold God in reverence and awe. If you're not thankful, you do not know him. Amen, Pastor Daniel. Amen. Our thankfulness is an act of worship to God and shows that we hold him in reverence and awe. Yes, in other words, if you're not thankful, then actually you're distorted in your thinking. We're going to look at Romans 1. It's very convicting and powerful, and it's a beautiful warning that we need to be people. You don't know what I've been. No, stop. You don't know what he's done. I'm not trying to demean you. I know you've been through a lot. I know maybe growing up with your dad or your mom, or maybe you came from an alcoholic home or a drug addicted home, or maybe you don't even know who your mom and dad is. I don't know what you've been through. I just know what he's done. I'm telling you, God is able to help you. And we serve a God who's not shaky. He said, well, where was God? God could get rid of evil today, right now. Right now. There could be no more evil in the world. How many of you know that's true? Why doesn't he? Because he'd have to kill all of us. If there was no more humans, that would be it. Evil operates through people, and there is demon power. And one day, one angel is going to put a chain around the ugly one and throw him in the lake of fire. Can you say amen? If you lose your attitude of thankfulness, then you will end up distorted, and you don't really know who God is. And you're going to be tested this week. You know it. You know it. There you are with your father-in-law or whoever it may be, sitting around. They don't put the walnuts in the stuffing like you asked them to. My God, the turkey's dry. For God's sake, I'm going to tell the turkey's dry. I'm going to chip a tooth, for God's sake, until the turkey tastes like wood, for God's sake. Or you're having roast beef and you're not having turkey, but we always have turkey. They don't have turkey. The pilgrims had turkey when they gave thanks. They didn't have roast beef. Like ham. We have to have ham. No pineapple, I told you. Everybody say, be thankful. And when you're not, you release a destroyer on your life. 1 Corinthians 10. Second Chronicles. Turn to 2 Chronicles. Go ahead. I'm kidding. Colossians. Turn to 3 Colossians. Colossians. It's okay. Colossians 2, verse 6. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him. Let your life be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth. One of the reasons people don't serve God and don't really get on fire for God is they don't let their roots go down. I'm gonna preach over here. There's a parable of the sower and the soil, the conditions of your heart. Some of the seed fell on rocky ground or fell on shallow soil. It sprung up quickly, but then it died because it had no root. I've seen people serve God, come, cry, weep, get healed, and backslide to hell 6 months later. Now, what happened? They had no root. How do you get root? I'm glad you asked. Because if you can understand how to get a root in you, then you'll be someone who truly worships. If you'll understand how to get rooted and grounded in God, then there's nothing that'll befall you all the days of your life that you won't begin to turn that into thanksgiving and give thanks and rejoice in the Lord always and all circumstances. Rejoice, not because of them, but in them all. Everybody say, in all circumstances. Apostle Paul writing that. You don't worship because you got a flat tire. In the midst of it, you keep your attitude of gratitude and you thank him and he turns the flat tire into something good. Can I get an amen from Pastor Karen? How do you get root? You get in the word. I commend you. You came to church today. We'll be here probably another 20 more minutes. We'll close. It'll be great. We'll have church tonight. You tell me, how are you going to grow real strong in God by a 1.5 hour service, maybe 2, 1.5 hour service when the average male watches 6 hours of TV every week? Men watch more TV than women, generally speaking. So how are you going to get root in you? You must soak and saturate yourself. It's the truth for everyone I've seen actually really grow in God. Is that they're in the word, that not just in the word right now, praise God, listen to this message later. Pull it back up and listen to it again. Take the notes. Listen to Wednesday's message, powerful message on Wednesday. Make yourself, as a friend of mine said, a podcast addict. What do you mean? How many of you know what a podcast is? Raise your hand. Podcast is a way of downloading for free. Most of them are free. You can get podcasts on cooking, podcasts on relationship. You can get all kinds of, you can get good biblical preaching and teaching podcasts. I follow many and I listen to them during the week. And I was listening to a service last night. In fact, it was in Africa, heavy African accent. And he was telling me that you reminding me, you must listen to the word, listen to the word, listen to preaching, listen to it. I was talking to a family that went to this healing conference just a few days ago. They told me, went down there in need of great healing, 50 hours in the word, 50. Completely, the pain is gone. Couldn't walk before he got down there. After 50 hours in the word, in the presence, he's walking. The pain is significantly less, and they're believing for the rest of that to manifest. And are you willing to, would you be willing? You say, I don't have time. You track what kind of time you have and how you spend it. You'll find out you're losing at least 45 minutes scrolling, looking at reels. You say, well, that's micro learning. Okay. I get some micro learning that way too. But when you want root, you want to finish this race, you want thanksgiving in your heart based upon biblical reality, you have to get it into your heart. You've got to press it down into your ears. You've got to learn the word, listen to the word, speak the word, pray the word. How many of you want to just overcome everything all of the rest of your life and receive a wonderful reward when you enter into heaven? Lift your hands. Good. Then you got to be in the word. Otherwise, there'll be an assignment that comes and you wouldn't be rooted and you'll get just yanked out. I don't want that for you. And every person I know that's become big and strong in God has done that. They're not just getting a spoonful and hopefully there's more to a spoonful. I guess it depends on how big the spoon is. Some of your mouth is small. You got a big spoon, but you don't open your mouth. Yeah, you remember when you lined up at the fridge for castor oil. Just went way over the head. Raise your hand if you got castor oil at the fridge. Yeah, they would line up. They'd line up all the kids, and then you'd have to like pinch your nose. Castor oil or whatever they would feed you. If that's you, you're over 70, over 60, most likely. Thankfulness is a part of continuing to live in Christ Jesus, just as being strengthened in faith is. Thankfulness is very, very important. And we should overflow with thankfulness. Should overflow. Does anybody know somebody that overflows with bitterness? Overflows with complaining? I've known people. I might know some today. That they're constantly, it's never good, never enough, it's half empty. I mean, they're just cynics. I mean, they came out the womb, they didn't believe it. You can fix that. Pastor Karen discipled in the early years of her discipleship by a powerful lady, Mindy Lape. She was so irritating in many ways because she was irritating because all she would do is speak truth. It was irritating because we didn't have that so much. So if you're hanging out with somebody that's constantly filled with the word and then decide that she's getting discipled, and she would say, "Ah, Karen, that's not in the word. Don't say that. That's not what the Bible says. Correct your mouth. Correct your speech." She's like, "I just want to die right now. That's not in scripture. Don't speak word curses over yourself. Oh, I wish, I could die. Don't say that. I don't even like saying it. Pastor Karen won't let the kids say that. That's not what you mean." Thank you, Pastor Karen. Only to your flesh, amen. All right, God's speaking to us very simply. How thankful are you? How thankful are we? Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy. It's too high for me. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given. I just messed myself up. And let the weak say, "I am." Let the poor say, "I am." Because of what the Lord has done for us, give thanks. So what happened to you when you were singing and then you like stopped singing and you looked all funny for a second? I got choked up. I started worshiping. I realized where I could be or where I should be without God. Think about what He's brought you through. It'll produce thanksgiving in your heart. How thankful are you? What role does thanksgiving play in our relationship with God? Well, when you see God's intervention in your lives, our lives, it's an opportunity to give thanks. It's an opportunity to give thanks. Near car accidents and crashes, immediately we'd pull over or stop and just go, "Oh, thank you, Jesus, you spared me again. You spared me again." Remember specifically heading home from church. We came to an intersection. My light turned green. I really can't stand backseat driving unless it saves me. Then I'm happy about it. I don't want Pastor Karen to say one thing about my driving, but I sure am glad when she keeps me from getting into an accident. It's funny how that is. I pull out at the kids in the car. I pull out at the green light. She says, "Stop!" And a truck goes whistling through at 75 miles an hour and just misses us. And she goes, "Oh, thank you, Jesus. It's because we tithe. Hallelujah. Thank you. It's totally what happened. It's the God's honest truth. We tithe. The devourer's been rebuked again. Thank you, God. We just worshiped. It's totally what happened. It's because we tithe. It's not even 15 seconds. That 5 seconds after," this is what she says. She was totally true. Totally right. We should thank God for who He is and for what He's done. How thankful are you for others? Oh, no. Be thankful. Listen, there's a purpose for mean and ugly people. How many of you know ugly is skin deep? Beauty is skin deep, but ugly goes straight to the bone. How many of you know that? Be thankful the person on the job that's a challenge to work with is forming Christ-likeness in you. Come on, bump your neighbor and say, I think he might be talking to you. Go ahead, tell him. Turn to Romans chapter 1. If we're not thankful, we will succumb to a hardened heart. And this is that part that I said to some of you thought I was using language that was hyperbole, that if you stop being thankful, you're going to end up demonized. So watch this. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. If you're all there, please go there, please. And put it on the screen if you're able to. It's an additional scripture that I added, but it is where this hardened heart comes from. If we're not thankful, we will succumb or yield to a hardened heart. If you're not thankful, then you're going to yield to a hardened heart. Romans 1 and verse 18. But God showed his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. For they know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. Verse 20. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky, everything God made. They can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they're without excuse from not knowing God. So literally, let me stop before we read verse 21. So literally, somebody doesn't even have to have the gospel, the good news. Jesus came, Emmanuel, God with us, was crucified for your sin and mine. That the message called the gospel, called the good news, doesn't even need to be preached for somebody to realize there's got to be a God. He puts eternity in their heart. There's a measure of faith. I'm talking about the person out in the bush, some far-flung tribe somewhere, unreached people group in the hearts of the Amazon. They know that there's a creator by looking at a flower, by looking at their hands, by looking at people. They know there must be someone out there, a creator or something, without excuse. But when they deny it, when they lose their gratitude, look at verse 21. Yes, they knew God, but they would not worship him as God or even give him what? Sorry, I can't hear you. Give him what? Thanks. And look at this spiraling down that takes place. So they don't give him thanks. They begin to think of foolish ideas of what God is like. As a result, their minds become dark and confused. Listen, in him, there's no darkness at all. So if your mind begins to be dark, it's a picture of being demonized, being affected by demon power. Are you telling me right now that I have to be someone who's filled with gratitude and thankful, otherwise I can succumb to demon power? Yes. Read my white lips. Yes! This true. Right here. So that's what happened to that. Right. So that's what happened to me. But you can change today. Claiming to be wise, verse 22. They instead became utter idiots. Oh, fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people, birds, animals, and reptiles. So progression here. God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things there was in their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. They worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. Verse 26. That is why God abandoned them over to the shameful desires. Even women turned against the natural way to have sex and indeed indulge in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men. And as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves a penalty that is deserved. Since, verse 28, They thought it foolish to acknowledge God. He abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of envy, of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hatred, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They were backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand, breaking their promises, and are heartless and have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do such things deserve to die, that they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. Let me give you just a few things here. If you're not thankful, you're foolish. Your thinking has become futile or of no value. And it's a gradual process. The pace at which you descend, I do not know, worship team. But you will descend. Everybody say, I'm gonna be thankful from now on. After this message, I'm gonna be thankful. Come on, bump your neighbor and say, it's time to give thanks. And that burnt turkey comes out, and you chip a tooth, you're like, thank the Lord God. Thank you. I'm gonna give thanks in all circumstances. If not, you're going to become a fool. One's heart becomes darkened. It's right from the text. You start to worship creation instead of God. See, that's taking you a little far, is it? It's exactly what happens. One becomes bound by their lust. Demon power begins to torment you. I mean, all because I didn't give thanks? Exactly. Pretty important holiday. It should really be. Every day. Why don't you give them thanks right now? Come on. Teach your kids to be thankful. They abandon the truth for a lie. They end up getting judged by a depraved mind. Home for the holidays. Thanksgiving. Make it a part of your life from the moment you wake up. The moment you lie your head down, commit to thank God in all circumstances. He is not the author of evil and death. He's the redeemer of all mankind.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. God's face shine upon you.